Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Notice these beautiful words of David. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Now the next reading is in 45, Psalm 45. The Psalms are a great delight to us in times of difficulty and testing. And at all times, God speaks through David still. This psalm is to the chief musician upon Shushanim, for the sons of Korah and Maskell, a song of love. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Now the next psalm I want to read is 57. A few words from it. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. Now look down, please, at verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise unto thee. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. Now the last one, not to be tedious, is 131, Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Now the Lord will bless what we have been privileged to listen to, the hymns that we have sung, and the prayers of our brethren. It would be my desire for a few minutes to follow on and to seek not only to reach the mind of our brethren and sisters, but to reach our hearts. I had a very hard heart before I was saved towards the gospel. And God spoke to me. It's a long time ago now. I've been already 62 years preaching. It's a long time since I heard the voice of God in my heart. I thought that salvation was by head knowledge, but I learned it was with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. In preaching the gospel, many times we would like to reach the mind. But in the gospel preaching that reaches the heart, God will work. For it is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now the Bible speaks a great deal not only of the hearts of evil men, but the Bible tells us of believers, heart work in believers. And so I've read here four Psalms of David, and in it we have desirable conditions in the hearts of the people of God. And I trust the ministry we have already heard and will yet be heard in this place if the Lord be not come, that we might go with our hearts warm to the person, as our brethren have been seeking, to bring us into contact with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. During my illness, he was very precious to me, more than I expected. I had thoughts of him even when those around me felt I wasn't understanding anything, and I couldn't speak perhaps, but I had thoughts of him and a longing that I would soon be with him. But if he would spare me, I would ever exalt him above all others, all our ministry, that we might give him a better place than we have been doing, that I have been doing perhaps too, in our lives. He's the center of the assembly, Christ, not ministering brethren or those who may have more gift than others. The center of assembly gatherings is a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I often think, isn't it good that he is here? Because he never changes. We change, he changeth not. And as he looks upon his people around him, even the poorest, perhaps, his heart is set upon them in a special way. For where two or three are, having been gathered. I go back not only to the time when I was brought to the cross, but I had an exercise before God to serve him and to do it in the right way. And the first of my relatives or family to come and sit in a back seat in an assembly. And the first time I sat there and saw him, I said, these will be my friends forever. And by his grace, I have continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. The assembly is the greatest place on earth, not because of great people being there, and not because of our behavior at times, but because of the one who is in the midst. And I believe he is here today in our midst. I often think when I rise to speak a word in the assembly, he will be here. I believe he's here at the conference with us as we gather here in our midst. And we wonder what he thinks about our singing and our ministry and what we say in his presence. We'd like to delight him, first of all. If I can bring a little joy to the Savior who suffered, in a world like this where he is despised and rejected, be a light to his heart. Now, heart work. That's why I've read these portions, all written by David, the sweet singer. Now, the first one I read, not to be tedious or overstep my time, and the next man will blame me for that, maybe. Maybe he'll forgive me, I don't know. But anyhow, the first thing I want to say here is this. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. That's what that psalm is about. The background to that psalm that I read, first of all, is David rejected. And he's lying out on the hillside. He has no friends. They've all forsaken him and fled. And here's what he said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Think of that wonderful gladness that filled his heart more than the time when their corn and wine increased. The gladness of having the joy of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lying out, rejected, despised, and Saul hunting them, and the world against him. Friends have turned away. And in his loneliness, he said, and in his occasion when he could have been downcast, he said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." The center of all gladness for the Lord's people is not the increase of wealth or knowledge or surrounded by all the friends in the world around us, but the true sense of gladness is knowing the Lord Jesus in my life. "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more in the time their corn and wine increased." In Psalm 45, it's a warm heart. It's a wonderful thing to have gladness in our heart, but what a joy to have a warm heart. "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king." It's a wonderful thing that each one of us can have thoughts of the Lord Jesus. And we can even, I have often thought, I can even say something to God about his son that he never heard from another human being on earth. Marvelous thing. We could draw near to God. And if you want the ear of the Father, you always present the Son to the Father. You speak of him, and we give him his full title, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord of all is Jesus now. Every knee to him shall bow. There's a day coming when every mouth will confess him, and every knee to him will bend. They will be made to bow before him. But thank God, we bow allegiance to him. We own the honor and dignity of his person. We rejoice in his lowly grace to come from the regions of eternal joy, to be born of the Virgin, wrapped in swaddling bands and laid in a manger. The angels had never seen him. It's amazing that angelic beings had never seen any of the Godhead. The Lord Jesus, the Son, was invisible to the eyes of angels. The first time they beheld him, he had taken humanity. He was seen of angels lying in a manger, that we might rise into his presence and be with him in the glory. We'll never know the distance he came until we see from whence he came. And we gaze at the glories of heaven. "Thou didst lay thy glory by, leaving for us the heaven's bright joy. O wondrous love, love of the Savior. Marvelous thing. Thou hast put gladness in my heart." And here, his heart is warm. "My heart inditeth a good matter." The best matter that any of us could speak about. And we admire all ministry we listen to is all needful. But that which exalts his person, when we feel him drawing near, to see his hands and feet and side, wounded for me, there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions and now I'm free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. Is there a sinner here? I'm a gospel preacher. I never aimed at being a teacher, or I never aimed at Bible readings, though we do that. But in my very heart of hearts, I long to see sinners saved for whom Christ died and rose again. And you can't do it with telling horrifying stories. You can't do it with indicating how much you understand of the world and its ways. There's only one way to reach a sinner, pointing him to Calvary. to that cross of shame and curse and loneliness. To gaze upon him hanging there, oh, why was he there? As the bearer of sin, if in Jesus my guilt was not laid, why from the side flowed that rich cleansing blood? As death, my debt has not paid. In the day when the precious blood has been taken away, in modern evangelism, Christ is not preeminent. Men with ability and men that can joke and so on become popular. God wants his servants and his people to present both to saint and sinner the one with whom we will dwell forever. He will never weary us. He is the one who must be control of my life and control of yours. Let me say in passing, is Christ occupying the place in your life and in mine that he ought to have? The godliest man here will say no. We can never do better than coming afresh, dear brother, in this little conference, to come afresh, each one, to the Lord Jesus. Lord of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. It's the only thing that's really worthwhile. So David, he writes, and he tells us in the Psalms, of a warm heart. But in Psalm 57 and 7, and I had to write it down. You know, I preached for many years without a note, and my wife said, you've got to write it down. You'll forget it, and the people will say, poor Harley's away. No, I write it down. I wrote it down. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I have it written down here. It's worth $1,000. I wrote down there. Yeah, to me. Listen, Psalm 57 and 7, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. You know, it's so easy to get away from the Lord. The Christian might not see it. Nobody might recognize that you're away from the Lord. You can carry on and give thanks and be seen amongst them. And yet your heart is on something else. Divided affection. Have I a divided affection? We all have to confess, sometimes my affection, my love is oft times low, my joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same, no change. Jehovah knows. We're a changeable people. Little disturbs us. We fall out, pass people by, look down on some. So on. He never changes. The same yesterday when I got to know him. The same today when I preach him. And forever. The unchanging Christ. What a Savior we have. What love. Led him to come down into a world like this. To pass through the procedures of life. I thought him today, one brother mentioned something that brought it to my mind. Foxes of holes, the birds of the air of nests, out to the mountainside. Lying under the trees, I walked up the Mount of Olives. The trees are gone, but I said to my wife, think of them lying up here in the night. And the birds above his head coming to roost. They lay beneath the trees, rose up hungry, creator of heaven and earth, and went down to be rejected, and finally to be led as a lamb to the slaughter, to Calvary's brow, to hang and bleed and suffer, that we might forever be free. Well, I trust that the Lord Jesus will be honored in our gatherings as his people. Don't take him away. Don't leave him out of our ministry and don't leave him out of our gospel. Whatever we preach, always direct the saints and the sinners to the man and the glory that once hung upon the tree. He is altogether lovely. There is none to compare with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read those words, "My heart is fixed on thee." Fix your heart upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. My mother used to sing. She sat at the organ and sang when we were boys. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Last point. I have 5 minutes yet. I could speak the whole meeting, but I'm not going to do it. Nobody would like me. A lowly heart. That's what the last one is. 133. My heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lifted up. David. He had a glimpse of God and Christ. Takes away pride. There's pride in us all. Pride in every one of us. Proud of family. Proud of our abilities. Pride because we have been successful. As we look at him, it removes pride. It removes loftiness. He was humble. One thing about our Lord Jesus Christ, he was the lowly one. Think of him, possessing all might and dominion and power, allowing men to strip, to spit in that lovely face. I scarce can take it in. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep. The only time the Lord is ever likened to a sheep. The lamb. But the full-grown sheep. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep. Before shears is done. Open not his mouth. May the Lord grant that our hearts may be full of Christ. For his name's sake. 100.